You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast, Using Multidisciplinary Management to Address Pathophysiologic Pathways in Paroxysmal Nocturnal Hemoglobinuria. I'm joined by Dr. Anem Waheed of Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center, who is also an instructor in medicine at Harvard Medical School. We're here to talk about the burden of PNH on patient quality of life. Welcome, Dr. Waheed.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't we just start with an overview of PNH itself? Tell us about the disease prevalence and the clinical features.
Paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria is actually a very rare disorder, and it leads to complement-mediated hemolysis. And it's secondary to this acquired mutation in the PIGA gene that basically affects the hematopoietic stem cells in your bone marrow. Ultimately, this mutation in this gene leads to an absence of GPI biosynthesis of these proteins, which are complement regulators. So when you're missing these complement regulators, it leads your hematopoietic stem cells susceptible to hemolysis. This PNH affects males and females equally, and it does have an increased incidence with age, but it's thought to be primarily a disease of young adults. These patients, the median age of diagnosis is in the 30s, and there's an estimated 3,000 to 6,000 cases of PNH in the United States, and this is a prevalence estimate. And in untreated PNH, prior to our current therapies, the median survival was 10 to 20 years, and the leading cause of death was actually thrombosis. However, now that we have several therapies for PNH, this has dramatically changed the outlook on their lifespan, and patients with PNH are expected to have a normal lifespan.
How does the disease itself affect patient quality of life? What kind of symptoms are patients living with? Prior to treatment, what does their day-to-day look like?
The physical symptoms patients experience when they have untreated PNH is mainly due to chronic hemolysis, which is the breakdown of the red blood cells. This is primarily due to intravascular hemolysis. And this intravascular hemolysis, which is the breakdown of your red blood cells in the bloodstream, can lead to hemoglobinuria, which is darkening of the urine, and that is one of the symptoms they tend to notice. It can be episodic. It also leads to anemia as well as iron deficiency, which has its own symptoms of fatigue, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, restless legs, etc. Fatigue, separate from the anemia, is also another symptom that these patients experience. There's also a high risk of thrombosis in patients with untreated PNH. So some patients actually have thrombosis prior to their diagnosis and they are on anticoagulation therapy. The thrombosis is thought to be secondary to activation of platelets, inflammation, endothelial dysfunction, and perhaps complement dysregulation. I mentioned to you the intravascular hemolysis, which leads to free hemoglobin in the bloodstream. This free hemoglobin binds nitric oxide, and it leads to local nitric oxide depletion, which then leads to, so smooth muscle dystonia is a symptom patients really experience, which can present like headaches, erectile dysfunction, unexplained abdominal pain. And in patients with longstanding PNH, they can have end organ damage, so chronic kidney disease or pulmonary hypertension.
So we do have good therapies today. Talk a bit about what they are. And I know most of them, there's been some interesting studies on their effect on patient quality of life. So let's have that discussion.
We have three FDA-approved therapies for PNH. Eculizumab, which was approved in 2007, ravulizumab, which was approved in 2019, and pegcetacoplan, which was approved in 2021. Eculizumab was approved in 2007. It significantly reduces intravascular hemolysis, and therefore several symptoms are markedly improved by initiation of this treatment. It leads to a lower incidence of anemia, thromboembolism, and transfusion frequency. Patients also have decreased transfusion frequency on eculizumab, and we know transfusion frequency significantly impacts quality of life. Additionally, the FACIT fatigue scores are also significantly improved with eculizumab. The second approved therapy for PNH is ravulizumab, which was approved in 2019. Several clinical trials show ravulizumab to be non-inferior to eculizumab, and it has similar effects on transfusion independence, intravascular hemolysis, thrombotic events, and quality of life. Pegcetacoplan was approved in 2021, and based on the Pegasus trial, it shows improvement in fatigue scores compared to eculizumab, which was what it was compared to. However, despite therapies inhibiting this intravascular hemolysis and improving patient symptoms, quality of life impact continues despite ravulizumab and eculizumab. In a patient survey in 2021, residual fatigue was experienced by 79% of patients who were on treatment with a C5 inhibitor such as eculizumab and ravulizumab. And just under half of those patients were able to remain employed after a diagnosis of PNH and treatment. 81% of these patients who are employed stated that having PNH affected their work productivity. Separately, in 2014, an analysis of the International PNH Registry showed that 17% of patients worked part-time rather than full-time due to untreated PNH, and a fourth of patients who were on treatment for PNH missed work in the last 6 months due to PNH.
So if, you know, studies showed a decrease in fatigue, why are we still seeing so much residual fatigue in patients who are being treated?
One thought is that patients continue to have low-level hemolysis, and we know patients have breakthrough hemolysis as well. Another thought is that they have extravascular hemolysis, which is what C5 inhibitors do not target. Additionally, there's a lot more to learn about PNH, and therefore new therapies are currently under development to see if we can improve patients' quality of life in addition to continuing control of their disease.
Do any of the three available treatments have a greater impact on quality of life? Is there one that if fatigue is the overwhelming symptom, this one will probably do better?
We all know that our patients do significantly better in terms of quality of life when on therapy compared to not on therapy. In regards to the three treatments currently available, eculizumab and ravulizumab were directly compared, and that was the basis of the ravulizumab approval. And ravulizumab was non-inferior in terms of quality of life to eculizumab. In regards to pegcetacoplan, they showed in their study that was published in 2021 that the FACIT fatigue score was improved compared to eculizumab, as pegcetacoplan was compared to eculizumab. I think nonetheless, this remains to be explored, and further study is needed to see how we can improve quality of life for our patients.
What are some things you do as their doctor to help with their quality of life beyond treatment? What are some recommendations you would give them?
Many of my patients remember what it was like to be untreated and undiagnosed with PNH. When they compare how they used to feel to how they currently feel, they actually have very few complaints. In regards to certain complaints like fatigue, tiredness, anxiety, those are the things that I think hear about from my patients. What I do is I try to provide reassurance and really explore what their fatigue is related to. Sometimes the fatigue may be related to the stress itself of having such a rare diagnosis. Alternatively, the fatigue could be due to ongoing hemolysis or ongoing anemia. Furthermore, these patients are typically iron deficient at diagnosis, so I look at their iron stores to make sure those are replete. I also worry about other sequelae from long-term C5 inhibitor therapy. But nonetheless, this is something we continue to explore, and we look forward to seeing what new therapies offer our patients.
You mentioned long-term effects. What were you referring to there?
Well, this remains to be seen. We worry about an infection. So we have all of our patients on, all of our patients receive vaccinations for encapsulated organisms at diagnosis prior to treatment, and then every few years, according to the CDC guidelines and the guidelines from the manufacturer of eculizumab and ravulizumab. Additionally, what we're starting to see is that patients continue to have extravascular hemolysis despite C5 inhibition. Ongoing extravascular hemolysis can lead to actually iron overload or other sequelae, so that it remains to be explored and is something that we continue to study. And some patients have breakthrough hemolysis whenever they have certain stressors like infection or surgery. During those times, I have to provide blood transfusions or steroids or provide some sort of guidance to other subspecialists as they undergo procedures and surgeries. So those are all the various factors that I manage when I'm seeing patients with PNH.
What are some lifestyle recommendations clinicians should be sharing with their patients to manage these symptoms?
Many of my patients are on ravulizumab, which is now every 8 weeks, and that has really freed them from having an infusion every 2 weeks, which was what the schedule is for eculizumab. I have patients ask me all the time, I want to go on vacation. Can I go on vacation? Can I go the week of my infusion? That's a common question. And I'm happy to say, yes, we can just move your infusion a few days early or give it a week early. Or they really work around their infusion schedule for the rest of their life. In regards to fatigue, as well as other symptoms, I just make sure we're not missing anything else. I just want to make sure it's not misattributed to PNH, as there are many other etiologies for fatigue and these symptoms. So that's also my focus when I see these patients.
You know, the word fatigue can be so vague. And for a patient to try to explain it to the doctor, how do your patients articulate how that feels?
Outside of PNH, fatigue is one of the most common complaints in primary care as well as in subspecialty settings. So it is incredibly difficult to really get to the bottom of it. I hear patients say, I just can't get everything done. I feel like I need a nap. I feel lightheaded. I feel tired. I feel short of breath. Or I didn't know I was that tired until you changed my schedule of my C5 inhibitor. So that's the sort of, that's really what I hear from my patients.
What have I not asked you about that you would like to share with our audience about quality of life issues in patients with this disease?
Many of my patients actually remember what it was like to have PNH before eculizumab was approved. And they really remark on how different they feel once they're on treatment. They feel remarkably better. And it's amazing that we're even having this conversation about how can we further improve their therapy so that they're feeling just like a peer without PNH. So I think it's amazing that we're even able to have this discussion.
That must be very gratifying.
It is.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Waheed. That's all the time we have for today. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. We hope you'll listen to another episode from this series. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide CME education for physicians. This activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. I would like to give a special thank you to our supporter, Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation, who provided an educational grant for this activity.